Hello and welcome to the A&E podcast, a podcast where we talk about whatever, with me, Aaron,
and me, Ethan.
Today we introduce ourselves, talk plans, and react to Injustice in a shot. Let's go. Hello, welcome to the A&E podcast. You might have just heard the intro, not sure. We're still figuring this out. But I'm Aaron. Aaron Kitley.
Bash.
Who are you?
I am Ethan. Ethan Johnson. We are uncle and nephew.
Unks and nephew.
Uncle Al. We started this podcast because we thought we chat a lot of shit and it's funny to listen to, at least just for us. So so we thought, fuck it, let's see. Oh, can't say that.
Already swore twice. This first episode, we're either going to have loads of swearing or loads of beeping. But it's fine, we're going to roll with it. We'll get better or worse as time goes on, so it's fine.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, so we'll get into the details of what sort of plans we have for the podcast, but I think maybe it might be a good idea to introduce ourselves, get a bit more details of who we are. So, like I say, I'm Aaron. I'm Ethan's uncle. I know you wouldn't believe that. You think I'm probably like 20 years old, 21. Yeah, no, I shave my head just as fashion, not completely bald. You know what I'm saying? We are family, but I think we're good friends as well. We've, like Ethan said, we've probably got some funny stuff. You might find us funny. You might find us annoying. Some of you guys, if there's any of you listening, might be coming straight over from the fact that we're both in bands. I'll talk about mine. So I used to be in a band called Postmortem Promises. We were mainly about back in the MySpace days, actually. So 2006, maybe, something like that. Ethan was a young whippersnapper then.
Yeah, man, child.
So, yeah, well, a long time ago, man. Back in the MySpace era, back in the Fringe days. We're like a deathcore band. You might know us or you might not. Pig Squeals, Obscure. So we're in the band. We stopped doing it. Yeah. Like I say, maybe 2008, 2009. My memory is shocking. You'll all find that it's terrible. But 2008, 2009, I didn't touch music. I actually probably didn't listen to metal for a decade. I think when I was in the band for so long, it just got a bit tired of it. Sort of burnt out from it. Weren't into music for ages. And then a few years ago, we had a reunion, got some new members. We did some videos, did some gigs. And then called it a day sort of about a year ago, maybe a bit less. And I'm currently in a band called Suffer now, and they're mainly Wolverhampton based, but their vocalist left and the guitarist left. I've joined. We did a tour around Europe, which was banging. The tour around Europe was amazing. Supporting Gutrectomy, which are absolute savages. That's me, the band was. Do you want to talk a bit about you, mate?
Yeah, 100%. So... Oh, dogs. I have two dogs and they go mental often. I, obviously, as Aaron said, was a young little whippersnapper new to the world when I saw Uncle Al sort of doing these crazy gigs that I was never allowed to go to and listen to metal and stuff from a young age. And I just always gravitated towards the heavier side of music, and so I had lived in Australia for a couple of years and come back to a group of friends who are very much that way inclined also, and they had written some music, and up to that point I could do some form of crude vocals that I'd practiced mainly in the shower. Terrible really, but we got together and started playing some stuff. And we originally was in a band called Deceiver, which we made one song under that name and realised it was terrible and decided to abandon that project.
It was good. I remember it. I thought it was good, man. No, it was good.
It was just... Yeah, it weren't what we was after, but it was a good start. But now we're in a band called Heated. Some of you guys might have found this podcast through other Postmortem Promises, Suffer or Hated. If you have, I hope you enjoy the music. Plenty more stuff to come from both of us, so that's good. But yeah, we're
loads coming.
Loads coming, man, 100%. So we're just sort of enjoying it. We're playing Metal to the Masses soon. We're just a new band trying to sort of find our way, essentially.
Explain what that is, because some people will know what it is, some people might not know. So what is Metal to the Masses?
So Metal to the Masses is basically it's a competition for newer bands to be able to sort of network, and it's the ultimate prize is to play Bloodstock, which is a pretty big sort of metal festival. So it's a competition for different counties around the UK and a couple of other international locations, such as Cyprus and a couple more. But the winners get to play that festival. It's just a good way to network, and you get an all access pass, and you can meet the other bands. And so it's just it's a good opportunity, but obviously you have to win, basically.
I think you've got a good chance. Like, you guys are, you know, not to put any other guys' bands down that I've heard. I've only checked out a couple. They've posted up the heats and stuff, like. Mm. Heated.
Posh.
You guys are banging, so I think you've got a good chance. Thanks. So I had like I said before, this I've recently joined Suffer, and I've joined with another guitarist. The band he used to be in did Metal to the Masses, and he won and did the. I think he. I'm saying this now. I'm pretty sure he won, because he said he went to did the Bloodstock, and you get access all areas. You do backstage. You get do some press. You get to meet all the other bands. So it's not only a good opportunity to just play Bloodstock, which is banging. You sort of can do a bit of networking and that, and start talking to other bands, and that could sort of it could lead off into other stuff, innit? Do you know of any of the headline of previous years of Bloodstock? I can't say I'm too familiar with it. I know it's massive.
I mean, there are. I did look this year. I can't remember this year, but massive bands, but it's a huge, huge event. I would say the only thing bigger in metal would be probably Download, which is the biggest one in the UK, at least. I would say that the only real difference between Bloodstock and Download is that Download is generally, it just consists of a lot of the bands that are really, really popular, whereas Bloodstock, you get some like crazy stuff you never even heard of. There's a Mongolian death metal band that literally use like Mongolian throat singing and like their exactly, yeah. So, mate, are you Mongolian? Was you born a Mongol?
I might be actually. I'm gonna do an ancestry thing and find out.
And Genghis Ketli.
Genghis Ketli. Well, that's interesting. I didn't know that. That's I wonder if they actually they do it live, or it's part of samples or.
From what I've seen, it's just like It is all just live. It's nothing's like overproduced or anything like that. But I think that is the main difference, is that it consists of popular bands that everyone does want to see, but also the more obscure side of metal also, because metal does get a little bit weird in points.
Well, I think that's the difference. So Download obviously has 1 billion bands play it on the weekend, but I think it's quite mainstream. I would guess Bloodstock maybe takes advantage of the bit more obscure. You'll get maybe like grindy different subgenres from Europe and stuff. Whereas it's like Download is quite mainstream, isn't it? You do have your heavy bands. You've got maybe one stage that will have the heavier, more obscure, but then you're mainly sort of your mainstream band. So explaining this to people that might already know it might be
a
moot point. But we're just talking about it. I think, good luck, Charles. I hope you get it, man. I'll be there pitting my...
throwing elbows, man.
In my knees and stuff.
So going back to, obviously, you've joined Suffer. What sort of stuff you got in the works? You know, what can people expect to see from Suffer coming up?
So we've got Feast of the K come out. You're in the video. Nice acting.
Oh gosh, Oscar winning.
Yeah. You've done a couple now. You did the PMP one as well.
Yeah.
God Destroyer. If you want to check them out, Ethan's in it acting.
I am. Got a mask on. But...
So what we've got.
But it's
we've
me.
Got, we're currently working on the EP at the minute, so I don't know, give too much away. We've got 5-track EP. What's the name for it? It's like a concept EP. Sorry, I'm tired. So it's a concept EP. Won't give out the concept, but it's all pretty deep. Quite cathartic for sort of what it's about. And so we're currently working on that. Jack the drummer is also the sort of band manager. He sorts out tours and stuff. So we are currently in works of sorting out UK and possibly Europe. But it's all sort of background working at the minute. We're just sort of getting all the stuff out, all content out ready, so we can sort of have that steady drip of content. Because you know as well, the modern scene is weird. Like if you have a break of a month, it's like you've sort of you die. It's like you weren't a thing. It's not the same as when I was a band. It's just like back in the day, it was like you could have an EP, release the songs, and that stays on everyone's radar for like months and months and months. Whereas now you do a song and a week goes by and then Slam Worldwide's uploaded 12 times and you're sort of at the bottom of the list again. So
yeah.
I think it's we're trying to get prepared and have all this stuff just sort of ready for this slow drip of content. But no, I'm really excited. It's a lot of it's very different to the stuff I've done before. We try and start different stuff to what Suffer's done. So it's good, man. Yeah, we're excited. What about you, mate? What's up with Heated?
Well, so we are writing the format in which we're gonna release the content that we're making. We are undecided on, like you said, like when you're sort of not big in metal, it's really easy to just get buried in the pure amount of content that people put out. So if you don't keep people's attention like all the time, you do just get forgotten about. So for a fan like us, it doesn't really make too much sense to just go, oh, here's an album, because people sort of flick through it if they don't know who you are, and then that's it. And also, you know, something that I've learned through Aaron's experience is that making the most out of the content that you do have is so important, because it's really easy just to just drop everything. You know, you do a couple of social media posts and then that's it. No one hears from you for another. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's tough. But we are writing. There will be some form of maybe an album, maybe two EPs, maybe even just a constant dripping of singles, if you will.
Just what you want to do in it, just sort of not milk it, but like just to keep on everyone's radar, just keep the slow fits. You've got your so like I guess a plan that we've done or we're gonna do is like, yeah, you have your single, but then you've got your teasers, you build up to the single, you've got your anticipation, you've got snippets, you've got then the single drop, you've got your playthroughs, you've got maybe some reviews, you've got reactions, all this, and sort of try and make it last. Because it's just like we're talking about just this is that it's crazy scene, so you just want to try and stay busy. But no, that's cool, man, exciting. So you've got a lot of stuff in the works. What's happening with the lineup? Because I know what people might know is obviously you've recently got Joe joined on as drums, but
yeah.
What's the situation with bass?
So, for anyone that is unaware, we did have Joe Bills join, say about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ish. He's from Venom Prison. Well, he was in Venom Prison, and
are they still going?
I think they are. There was
it's a hiatus rather than
There was never any talk of them splitting up, but I think it was because their lead singer had a kid, and I think she wanted to just enjoy the, you know, the time that she would have whilst the child was young. So I think they sort of just took a step away from it. But I don't think that they're like, it's, you know, I don't think they threw it away or anything. But I don't think there's any talk of them coming back anytime soon, as far as I know.
Okay.
But and then wasn't it, is it Human Error that he was in as well? Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. So Joe's done a lot, man. So he did, I don't know if he was in a crane now, but he was in Human Error.
Mm.
He's drummed for, he's session drummed for Ingested. He was in, also he was in PMP do a reunion, because Randy did it first, the original drummer, when we did the comeback. But then Randy couldn't do it because he also had a kid. Kids, having kids just messes everything up.
Yeah, man. Don't have kids.
Don't have kids. Don't have kids. Have dogs and that's it.
Yeah, man. 100%.
But yeah, so you had Joe. He's absolute savage of a drummer. He's absolute unit. So
yeah,
he's gonna do good there,
mate. Joe is next level. We got really lucky. I think, like, especially where we live in the UK, I just think this is probably a thing of the UK as a whole. It's like good drummers are f***ing gold dust. Oh, I can't swear, sorry. Yeah, good drummers are, like, seriously hard to find, especially for the genre that we play. But we got Joe, and then bass, we had a friend of ours that worked with us in the Deceiver bit, thing that I previously mentioned, and he sort of took a bit of a break, and then when we started Heated, he come on board again, but he left recently, and we managed to get our hands on Dan. Can't remember Dan's last name, which is terrible.
Cook.
Dan Cook, yeah, man, Dan.
Yeah, yeah.
So Dan Cook also was in Acrania and Human Error. Dan, he's a savage, man. He's got like master's degree in music, and he's just like a really, really good asset to have. Like he knows people, he understands the genre and the technical side, you know, writing and also like the mixing and the setting, the setting things up. He's serious. He's a serious guy. Yeah, he's so good.
Really talented. Really talented. He's the best bassist. No offense to anyone else, like the technically advanced bassist I've ever played with. Like, he's like a really, really good guitarist. But so bass, like, it, obviously there's always that thing in there. So if you can play guitar, you can probably play bass.
Yeah.
but he is like really good at both, and like you're saying, so not to chime in where you're talking about, but he knows the scene. He teaches media. He did teach, I think he did teach music for a while, so music theory he really understands. Because he was in PMP again. He was in PMP. We're all just, it's really incestuous. We all just, yeah, everyone knows each other. We're all just as well. So
it's me stealing people from Aaron's bands, basically. It's what's going on there.
He's gonna get me in to replace him soon. He yeah, man. Watching from the side. but yeah, no, Dan's savage. He actually, it's a big shout out to Dan. He is now moving on to do videos, do live sets, music videos. We Suffer have just currently done recently done a music video with him that's in just going to be with this upcoming EP. He's amazing. So we'll keep shouting him out in the future, because he deserves praise for what he does, man. Like as a person, he's an absolute legend. And as a musician and everything about him, yeah. So shout out Dan.
Yeah, we'll link his socials. Editor, future editor, Ethan or Aaron, link the socials. Somewhere here. But no, yeah. Aside from all like Dan's technical ability, like when it comes to his knowledge and things like that, he's a gangster bassist, and also an incredible guitarist as well, which has added a real good new element to the band, because he's very much into sort of like math metal and the more sort of like the faceless style of metal, like techie stuff, which is far from what we play. But having that in the back pocket and having a good understanding of just your instrument and what you can and can't do is makes such a difference to your writing. So some of the new stuff has new elements in it that our previous stuff hasn't had, and it's refreshing because it gives us all a new like outlook on where our sound sort of can go and where it is going. So that's good. So
the ceiling's been raised up there. You've got you're not limited. The limitations are now going, and you've got access to a lot more avenues to go down.
Yeah,
how exciting, mate. Well, exciting.
Yeah, 100%.
Going to be sick.
So good, man. But that's it. Like, lots of good things to come in the future. It is all very exciting.
Cliche thing of big things in the works. Yeah,
so much stuff like
it's stuff coming soon. So.
It is, man. It is 100%. 100% stuff coming soon, man.
Epic. So that's sort of us band wise.
Yeah,
we'll keep this introduction going. Like, obviously, I think in future we'll probably try and keep episodes themed around certain things and sort of dive in a bit more. But I think for the first episode, we'll try and just skim through and just explain what stuff we're into and what we're going to be doing. Just so then, you know, you might not be into music, you might be into other stuff. So, what else we got? So, what other interest? I think another interest that we both share is we're both into martial arts.
Yeah, man.
So we're both into martial arts. Both into martial arts. I did talk about myself first. So I did judo when I was a kid. It's not the most effective martial art, but I did enjoy it. But what I currently do is trying K1 kickboxing. I try and get around there sort of 3 times a week. Yeah, it's hard. So for anyone that's not familiar, I'll try and do it justice by explaining it. So K1 kickboxing is sort of, if you know what Muay Thai is, it's similar to Muay Thai, where you do pad work and drills using elbows and knees. But when it comes to competition as a K1 fight, there's no sweeps, no knees, and no elbows. I think that's the defining elements that differs it.
Hmm.
I think there's other rules as well. Maybe like spinning back fist, you can't 360. It has to be 180 smack and then back round. There's all these weird rules, and I think it also depends on what sort of competition you're doing or whatever. But So I'm deep in that. I was meant to do a fight in March, but
yeah.
So I had this ridiculous injury. This is what happens when you get into your 30s, right? So I was at training, we're doing some drills, we're doing a back and forth. You have the pads, I'll do the drills, and we swap over, we do a few minutes of each. Fine. I'm holding the pads, he's doing the drills. We're just stopping in between for a few seconds, you know. In that few seconds of breaking, all I do is step to the right, somehow my right foot gets caught. And it rolls, just click, and I hear this big crack. I thought, jeepers.
Gee whiz.
I broke my foot, so I literally fall on my bum. I'm like, real agony, real, real bad. All from just literally, I don't know what happened. Maybe, like, my foot got caught where, like, the mats are, like, in like a jigsaw joint, and I've just caught it and twisted it. So, sprained my ankle. I was out for 2 weeks, and it was bad, mate. It was bad. I saw Ethan the pictures, but it was all like purple on the side and yellow. Like, it's bad, man. I remember like rolling my ankle when I was younger, skating. A week later, I was I'm up at it. Now it's like, even now, like 3 weeks later, I'm like, oh, mate, this feels bad.
It was brutal. Maybe I'll put a little flash on screen of Aaron's gangrene ankle, but it was pretty rough.
I can't even say it was like, oh yeah, I was doing a roundhouse, knocked him out, I twisted my. It was like, no, I just stepped to the side like a granny and just twisted my ankle. Like, what is going on? But so I'm not sure if I'm going to do this fight in March anymore because I just don't want to risk it. I went first session back yesterday. And was absolutely amazing. Like, I don't know about you, but when I have a break, when we go back into it, like, I'm fired up. I'm fully into it. I'm fully fully cognizant of everything that's around me. I'm so into it, and that's what it was last night, man. I was loving it. So I'm not sure about the fight, but yeah, no. So that's me for martial arts. We love it. I watch UFC, watch ONE, and we love it. So. What's all about you, mate?
Well, So again, when I was younger, maybe 8 or 9, I'd done, I think it was Japanese jiu-jitsu. I was always told it was Brazilian jiu-jitsu, but I don't believe it was. But I'd done some form of jiu-jitsu, might not have even been jiu-jitsu, I don't know, but I'd done something. And then I sort of, you know, fell out of love with it for years until, it was to be fair, it was around the same time that Aaron had started kickboxing, and I thought, you know, I might get into something like that.
If he's doing it, I'm gonna.
Yeah, if he's doing it, I'm doing it. I'm gonna do it better. No.
Legend is that legend does,
isn't it? Exactly, mate. But to be fair, I think I've always thought that like martial arts is like a practical life skill. Like everyone should know, or at least be capable of being able to protect themselves and other people. I think big misconception about martial arts is that, that person is a violent person because they have the capacity to be violent. But I actually think that if everyone had the capacity to be like, if everyone could do martial arts, there would be less violence, because it's a weird thing in martial arts that everyone respects each other because they all know that everyone's capable. And
yeah.
But yeah, so back to what you originally asked. So I started kickboxing, and it was sort of a blend between K1 and Thai boxing. And to be fair, that's still pretty much what I do. It probably leans more towards K1, but I still, you know, still train throwing elbows and knees and stuff. Can you knee in K1?
Not in competition.
All right.
When we do like drills, your training, that we do elbows and knees and stuff, but
yeah.
I think it depends on the competition, but I think primarily K1 you don't in competition though.
Yeah, okay. So I mean, I still, the gym that I am at currently is an MMA gym, so they don't, it leans sort of, you know, there's it's a bit of everything because it is a mixed martial arts gym, but I do sort of K1, Thai boxing, sort of fusion, and then I started training jiu-jitsu again 2 months ago or something like that. It's not been too long, but mate, the jiu-jitsu is like,
changed the game.
It's changed, game changer. Yeah, man. I, honestly, I think that yeah. I could happily quit doing kickboxing and just do jiu-jitsu and be fully happy. But I won't, because obviously I want to be a well-rounded, you know, fighter. But yeah, but that's me. I feel like a lot of the time it's like you get home from work, go to the gym, come home, you have to go to bed, and then back to work again. So the training is pretty intense at the moment. But I kind of
weeks go, didn't it? You know, if you do train 3 times a week, I know sometimes you do more, but it's like, yeah, like I say, work, eat, train, home, sleep, and the days just go poof, 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 and then it's like, oh god, like Christmas is gone.
Yeah.
Months ago. Like, well, what's happened?
It's insane.
Which is good and bad. It's like, at least you're doing something you enjoy. If it was just work and you felt like that, it's a bit different.
100%. And I think, like, I spent a lot of time playing games and have just reached the conclusion that it's like, it is just a waste of time. Like, you are,
yeah.
Like, and don't get me wrong, like, I have a deep love for video games, as I'm sure most people listening probably do also, and Aaron as well. Everyone loves video games, but unless you're doing something else like constructive, or you have a goal that you're trying to reach outside of that, it is just like a bottomless pit of that you just throw time into, man.
Oh, mate, it is. Do you know what I've found as well? Like, not when I was younger, but more when I started working, and you know, your spare time starts feeling a bit more limited. That when I was, if I'd play games for too often, I'd sometimes this, like, I'd feel a bit guilty.
Yeah.
There's no one telling me I can't do it, or there's another stuff I'm meant to be doing. But I just feel a bit guilty within myself that I'm wasting a bit of time, you know. Especially with games that, you know, if I'm invested in a game that's story heavy, then I feel like it's a bit more, my time's a bit, it doesn't bother me as much.
Yeah.
If I go through long stints of playing Call of Duty or Battlefield, them sort of games where, like, I'll play it for hours and it's like, this, that was just worthless time there, and half of it I've been frustrated.
Not even enjoyed it.
Whereas if I play, like, my favourite game, like on this podcast, again, like I say, we've moved into that, but we talk about games. My favourite game of all time is Fallout 3. Story-based, heavy story-based games are my favourite. So, like Fallout 3 is my favourite, Fallout New Vegas. Obviously, Fallout 4 was a bit more of a polished game, but not as good, in my opinion. Skyrim, Uncharted. And what one I've just finished recently, I think Ethan started playing it, is the Indiana Jones game, mate.
Yeah, man.
It is absolutely incredible. If you're, like, even slightly, you probably don't even have to be a fan of Indiana Jones.
No.
But I was a fan growing up. We used to watch it with my dad. Like, real old school cinema adventure films, and I should love them. So this feels like you're playing a film. It's like you can find one of your favorite films and deep dive and expand the story and get, like, involved in yourself. Like, it's such, I think it's probably a 9 or 10 out of 10, that game.
Yeah.
It's absolutely 100%. Amazing. You're sort of you've just started it, yeah?
Yeah, I'm not very deep into it, but one thing that stood out to me the most about that game is that you have games that are, you know, you get Star Wars games or, like, games that sort of follow, like, a film series or whatever, but I've never found that they've managed to quite capture the essence of the film. But I think Indiana Jones, one thing I've picked up on it is that it does a really good job of just still capturing that comedic essence that is sort of there in the films as well. They've done a really good job on that game, and the graphics are insane. Like, if you've got a NASA space rig, you can run a max graphics. But
does it run on PlayStation 2? Is it on PlayStation 2?
PlayStation 2.
Mate, imagine what it would look like on PlayStation 2. It would be like 5 pixels just moving about.
Well, I used to have an Indiana Jones game on PlayStation 2. Did you ever play that one?
Was it third person?
Yeah.
And used to... Which is weird, because the origins of Indiana Jones was, like, they wanted to make an Indiana Jones game. They didn't have the rights, so they made Tomb Raider. They wanted to make a game similar to Tomb Raider, so they made Uncharted.
Yeah.
Uncharted is pretty much exactly the same, is Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
And then they've made this Indiana Jones game. So it's a weird sort of spiral they've gone on. But no, it's good. It's really good. Like you say, the graphics, even I run it on the Series S, the basic Xbox, the start, and it still looks amazing. Obviously, you can tell the limitations it's got, but it still looks amazing. What I found really impressive as well is Indiana Jones's voice. It sounds like exactly like Harrison Ford. Even Harrison Ford said, like, you don't need AI. Like, you can achieve these things by just skill and talent. And that guy, I think it's the same guy who does the voice of the main, is it Joel, the main guy of The Last of Us. He's such a good vocal talent. It sounds exactly like Indiana Jones. Harrison Ford. I thought it was. I assumed that they've somehow got clips from the film. And AI did, but it's just him putting on the voice. Madness, mate. Madness.
Yeah, man. Some of these voice actors out here are insane. Like, I don't know if I showed you, but there's Matt Berry. There's this, like, young guy that does this Matt Berry voice. Just if you had put them in a room together and blindfolded someone and was like, can you tell the difference? You could never tell the difference. Some of these voice actors are, like, incredible. But yeah, man, that Indiana Jones game is might be game of the year. Did it come out this year?
Yeah. Or was it just before Christmas? I don't know, actually.
I don't remember.
If it came out last year, what competes with it? I don't really know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It's so good.
The game of the year last year was that. Well, it was that robot game. I don't know really too much about it, but it was some form of robot game. But what I'm thinking is, if they had already announced the game of the year prior to that Indiana Jones release, then it might be that the year is a little bit sort of displaced from the actual calendar year. So it could still maybe win game of the year. I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, it makes sense, wouldn't it, to be like, surely game of the year is announced and done December, end of December, and then you start again. I don't know.
Yeah, could be. But either way, yeah,
it's a banger.
It's a banger. It's a banger. And it's on Game Pass as well, man. It's on Game Pass. Play it for free. Virtually
Game Pass
free, man.
Amazing. Starfield was on Game Pass. I don't get it. It's
yeah,
so good,
man.
Game Pass Xbox is so good.
It's they're trying to pull in front of the PlayStation, man. I think they're basically just paying off all these companies to get the games for free. So the mate, but yeah. So games, another thing that that we're into as well is that sort of things. As you can see behind Aaron, if you haven't noticed, Interstellar, Alien. Aaron is quite the movie enthusiast. I'll let him explain a little bit more, but there you go.
Yeah, no, so everyone likes a film, don't they? So yeah. I've just always absolutely loved it. I don't get into the criticizing, the reviewing and all that. I purposely try not to get to be one of those people that judges films too much. Like, I can watch a dog poo film and be entertained and it's fine. Like, I went to the cinema recently and watched Love Hurts, and it's the guy talking of Indiana Jones. Short Round, or I forget his name, the Asian kid who's in I think it's Temple of Doom, maybe. Raiders, but it's him, he's grown up, he was in Everything Everywhere All at Once. But that guy is the main guy in it, and he's terrible, absolutely terrible. I watched it, but and I was thinking, this is absolute tripe. It's entertaining, and I have that mindset with films. I just love story. I love, just watching films, being entertained. I think my favourite film, it changes. I've got a top 10 in my phone, and I'm always updating it. I think Interstellar is probably my favourite film of all time. Christopher Nolan, probably my favourite filmmaker of all time. Ridley Scott, probably second. Alien. But sci-fi, fantasy, not too big into horror. I like maybe slashers a bit more than actually like the paranormal stuff. I don't like feel like horror films that like I'm gonna watch and then I'm gonna be like in the shower thinking about it, sort of praying it out. That's how it stays. If I'll watch like Hereditary or Insidious, which I can appreciate, are good films. But they sort of haunt me a bit, like the jump scares and the paranormal stuff. I don't even really believe in that sort of stuff. So I think maybe that's why it messes me up. I don't believe in it. I can't understand it, and that's why it freaks me out. But like slashers, like I like Scream and things like that. Love film and series. Like me and my partner Jenny, we watch a lot of stuff. What sort of films you're fairly similar, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm not one of those guys that really dives too deep into the whole like movie critique side of things. My girlfriend Laurel is like movie nerd, and she is really into that side of films and stuff, which, to be honest, you know, at times is eye-opening because it helps you understand parts of the film that maybe I wouldn't have before. But I'm not really sort of wired that way. I can literally watch like Kevin Hart films. I draw the line at The Rock, but I can watch that.
I quite like some of the look. He did a run of films. So he did Skyscraper. Yeah. And what's the one with the giant gorilla thing?
Is it Rampage?
Rampage. Actually, I thought they were banging. It's mindless, very mindless. And he is the flavour of the room. He is not going to shock you. He's not going to really make you feel any emotion, but you sort of believe it at least. He's the flavour of the room. If there's action, he fits in, sort of thing. But he's not. I can tolerate him.
Yeah.
Kevin Hart. That bothers me. That dude bothers me.
I
like him in a Get Hard's okay.
Yeah, that's Will Ferrell, man. Will Ferrell is so funny. I think the thing that I mean, Kevin Hart is exactly like this as well, but there's like a certain group of actors that aren't even really actors. They're just like, it's like if Dwayne Johnson was in this scenario, that's what you get. Mark Wahlberg is another one where it's not even really acting. It's just, imagine Dwayne Johnson with a big monkey, Rampage. Imagine if he was in a big building, skyscraper. That's basically their range of acting. I don't know if you would really even call them actors, but Yeah, Get Hard is good, but I think Will Ferrell probably carries that a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if he might be losing it, because he was undeniably the best sort of comedic actor for ages, like Anchorman, just like Step Brothers. Oh, like he went on a run, just absolute savage. And he's done a couple of films recently, and I just don't. Everyone's got their peak, and most people do fizzle out. I'm not sure. I'm just hoping he's just made a couple of bad decisions. So
I think he's.
But yeah, I'm not sure.
He's probably at that stage of life where he's just like, you know, he's probably getting on a little bit, and he's got too much money to care about anything. So I suppose it's like Nicolas Cage for a while just made just crazy films, just doing what he wants. Once upon a time was like a world renowned actor, and now it's just like, what is he doing?
He's known as the crazy guy, right? Have you seen I watched Long Legs.
I haven't seen it.
That is weird, mate. That is weird.
Yeah, Laurel was like, don't bother watching it because it's terrible. But again, I can, you know what I mean? I can watch paint dry and I'll be happy. So.
It's weird. It's one of it is just one of those films. I don't know. Like, just strange. Like, but I think it's quite critically acclaimed and people are raving about it at the moment. Like, weird.
Yeah. Sorry, go on.
No, no, it's just weird. I just think the critically acclaimed 5-star adverts you see just don't mean anything. I don't really pay attention to them. Jenny, like, we want to watch a film. Jenny obviously takes 5 million hours to choose the perfect film, and we never find it. But she looks at reviews, and she'll go on IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes, and this has got good. I really don't care. If the premise seems good to me, or I've seen the trailer, that's enough for me to watch it. But like I say, I'm an easy sell. I can watch most things and it's fine. It entertains me at least. Got to mong out a bit and watch them, and that's all I'm after, really.
You need to watch Arcane still, man. Arcane's...
Arcane.
It's good. What I will say is...
It's good.
It's good.
But...
The first series was great. But I kind of feel like... And for me, it was the animation that sold it. For anyone... that doesn't know, it's like sort of linked to League of Legends, which is I think the biggest game in the world currently. But the animation is insane. And the first series was really good, and then I think they just started to their legs wobbled, and the second series, the writing was just awful. But the animation is really good. If you're into that sort of thing, you like those sort of visual things. But yeah, it's worth watching. I just found the second series to a little bit hard to watch. Didn't really make too much sense to me towards the end of it. But
it sometimes happens when there's like, if something starts doing well, they're almost, you get the second series and it's changed. Almost like there's been like these money hungry executives sort of sniff on to there's a bit of success there. You can earn some money and other outside elements get involved. And then the second series, it's like changed. You know. So like, it looks different. The color hue throughout it is completely different. It's a completely different feel. It's sort of like different cameras and different. Everything's changed so much that you get when you get used to it, watching it first, and then you watch the second series, and it just doesn't feel the same. It's like, this is what it was, but it's been tampered with.
Yeah,
and that's hard. Have you heard of Slow Horses?
No.
Oh, mate, it is absolutely banging. It's like this, it's British MI5. It's got Gary Oldman and load of these actors that aren't big, but they're amazing. And they're like, Slow Horses is like the B team MI5. They're all like the degenerates that have done something wrong, and they stick them there and don't really give them any good work. And they somehow, by these series of events, get put into this massive job. The first series, anyway, this massive job that sort of expands their workflow, and it's really deep and really, really good. If you like any thrillers or crime stuff, it's banging, mate. It's really, really good. Gary Oldman's just an absolute legend. He plays just like a slobby drunk in it. He's awesome, man. Well, good,
mate. He's like one of the best actors, I think, to come out of the UK. Definitely, he's crazy. Him and Leon. Leon is such...
Everyone!
Yeah, he's so good.
Leon's bad, boy.
Leon's a gangster film, man.
Yeah,
gangster film. Was it Natalie Portman's first film? I think.
I wouldn't be surprised. She's young in it. She's very young. It's weird. Like, if you... It's sort of like... I don't know if you could make that film today. There's, like... Because there's nothing obviously wrong with their relationship. There is just slight elements and suggestions, like... of she is underage and she falls in love with him, and there's like she gets into bed with him at one point. I don't think anything happens, but it's like,
yeah,
this is air of like sort of, it's not, it's almost a bit wrong. Like, you can't make them sort of films these days, you know?
Yeah, it's a confronting situation, I think. Like, I think for, but I it must be intentional, because for the viewer, you root for these people that you're watching. So like Leon, for example, face value, he's an assassin, he's not a very nice person, but you sort of root for him. But then you find yourself in this weird position that, you know, where you're like, should I really like this guy? But you do like this guy because you've just watched an hour and a half of this guy shooting people in the face. But then you're like, oh, I know I shouldn't, because he probably is a paedophile at this stage.
Yeah, well, this is what it implies, right? So, and Natalie Portman's game, she's into it, she falls in love with him, she's in bed, like, there is this sort of relationship there, although there are no lines across. It sort of hints at it, so it's a bit weird, and I guess that sort of thing comes with how it's shot and what side of the story it shows you. So if you're watching Leon and all you see is his murders, he goes out and murders, and you don't really see the home life of him, you don't see the nice stuff he does or how he is when he's a bit cute in these situations, then yes, because that humanizes him. But what they do show you is you don't really see too many of the murders. You see him at home with Natalie Portman, you see the relationship with them two, albeit a little bit peedy. You see that side of him, so then you can relate to the humanity in him, and that's easy. Watch, you root for him, you don't feel that bad rooting for him. And I think some of the best stories are that talk about, I know we've both got a love for Breaking Bad, another one. He's got the story is really good. It gives him a reason to be eventually evolving to what he becomes, because it's that necessity. That he needs the money, he doesn't want to, like, he wants to provide for his kids, but by the end he is just a piece of crap. He's an awful person with elements of being nice, but the whole time you root for him, you want him to succeed, you want him to, you know, survive and make it through the end, even though he is out there cooking and selling meth and like killing people, but he's an absolute bad man. And that just shows, like, a good storyteller that can tell this story of, like, someone who's should be the villain, but you root for him. I just love it, like Dexter, Breaking Bad, like even to an element, House. He's horrible, guy. Love him. You root for him, I love all that. It's great,
mate. Breaking Bad is the best series ever made. And if anyone disagrees, I'm gonna have to try that jiu-jitsu out on you. Basically,
uppercut him, punch your beard off.
No, but you're completely right. It's like, The shift in character from the first season through to the last is insane. And it's funny because the person who's trying to hold the family together and trying to do the right thing, keep her family safe, is Skylar. But she ends up being the most hated person because she's just in the way. She's like, you just want her to just stop.
It's
because
her face as well.
She does moan a lot, but...
There's a face. I just want to... It was smoking, like, you just want to punch her in the face.
Yeah, you want to...
Obviously, you never would, but in here, you do.
You might.
Yeah. That's funny, that, isn't it? Because she's the victim. She's the one you should feel sorry for, but actually, you hate her.
Yeah.
You hate her. Why? You just leave him. Let him do what he wants.
Yeah, let him sling ice, man. What are you doing? I know you got a newborn. It don't matter.
Meth never killed anyone.
Yeah, never hurt no one.
Chill out, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. But Breaking Bad, man, like, built different. Yeah. Series going on there. So, we said we was going to do a little bit of reaction. So, the next thing on our agenda is just talk about the direction of the podcast and sort of what we want to do, which you did touch on sort of a little bit earlier. But I think for us, like, so we started working together, I think maybe 4 months ago-ish.
Yeah,
and we've always had a really good relationship. You know, we've got a lot in common, music and this, that, the other. But working together, we'd sort of, we just, you know, sit in the truck, just cracking jokes, being stupid, and it's just, we just thought, let's make a podcast. We might make some people laugh. It would be a nice little thing for us to share. So we have done. But I think, we both have a wide array of different interests that we wanted to try and incorporate to the podcast. So it isn't particularly going to be about anything. We will just sort of probably in future just pick a subject and maybe watch some music videos, or we could, you know, analyze some fights and just sort of shoot the breeze. So that's sort of, I think, the general idea of where we want sort of the podcast to go. And also, Aaron said about implementing the Q&A for...
Yeah,
man. So we should 100%. Any questions, leave them in the comments. Shoot them over to us, man. We got... We'll answer basically anything. So anything you want to ask to answer, man, anything, we will answer it.
Yeah, leave it in the comments or DM us. We're still trying to figure this out, but I guess we'll probably leave the Q&A to the end. We'll sort of pick a few questions and sort of elaborate and try and do our best to sort of answer them. Just elaborate what Ethan said, basically. Just, we're just going to talk about our interests because that's what we want to talk about. We've got a lot of different interests. We're going to react to certain stuff. We like watch some fights. We're open to suggestions as well. Stick it in the comments. Like, we're open to suggestions of stuff you want us to react to. Bands, music, fights, you know, funny videos. Maybe we could have a little segment where there's like the weekly funny clips of the week. We can react to that. So yeah, that's sort of the plan. We'll be figuring out as we go along, but we want everyone to join us. We'll get better at this, and we're excited, man. Big stuff
coming,
and interviews,
man,
as well.
Yeah,
we were talking about interviews. We've got a couple of people in mind. It could be quite cool to just do little interviews with people. So
yeah, 100%.
Look out for that. If you've anyone you want to suggest, then suggest to us. But yeah, so before we wrap this up, I think what we were saying we were going to do is do a little reaction to Ingested's new song. So a little bit of backstory, if people aren't don't really know who they are. So Ingested are long going death metal, deathcore band from the UK. They were going probably same time as we were in PNP back in the day, mid 2000s, sort of. Yeah, they've been grinding for years, man. Getting bigger and bigger. They tour the world now. Mm. Absolutely massive. Savages, absolute legends. And recently, the vocalist left. I think even the... Have they got a new guitarist as well?
I think it was just it was the vocalist and the guitarist that left, I believe.
Right.
And they got the vocalist. So, yeah, he's the new guy from, what is that band? You know,
Monasteries.
That's the
so
one.
He was in Monasteries, but he was also in, he did another band, didn't he? Should have done our research.
Yeah, he's in another band also.
But they were doing good as well. Like he Monasteries were doing pretty well. He did another band recently. We'll put it in the description maybe, or shout out if you remember it.
But
doing pretty good. Mm. And then Ingested left, and he was always friendly with them, so he's joined them. So this song is the first song released with the new lineup with Josh. So we're gonna take a listen. Right, nice little edit there. No one noticed that. Smooth.
My editing skills. Bad.
Right, so yeah, what's the song called? Ingested, Altar of Flesh, by Ingested.
Yes.
Let's give it a go.
Let's give this a little listen. We'll have a couple of pauses and see how we go.
Hate it.
Hate it. Terrible. That's Loki.
Of course it is. Shout out Loki.
Oh, I'm in it this round. Oh!
What was that?
There, like? He's one of your lot.
One of my lot. So I've got to be admit that I'm not massively familiar with Jesse. I obviously remember him back in the day, but I always remember him more of. So the music sounds very similar. It's like slamming death metal, but the vocals always used to be just lows and mids, just grunt.
Yeah.
Like great. I know, obviously. Josh has got quite a bit more range, but I weren't expecting the Big Squirrels. They're a good addition. They're coming back, mate. I tell you, they're coming back.
Big Squirrels are so fucking. They're so cool. I honestly can never really work out how to do them properly. But the Luke Griffith, he's Big Squirrels are mental. Like,
mate, have you seen it? Don't go on a tangent. We're doing this tangent. Have you seen that he just uploaded? He did a Jumper Cowboy cover.
I haven't, no.
Oh my god, maybe we'll react. We'll do that next episode. It's so good. He's ridiculous. But this video,
right?
No, weren't expecting the Big Squirrels.
Yeah, man. Tempo change.
Two step as well. It's almost like they're modernizing it up. Using a lot more lows than he has previously. I wondered how that would fare with him because I think his dominating vocal before, if I remember rightly, was these mids. He's got sick mids, but he seems to be doing a lot of lows because I think that's what the previous guy did. But sounded good.
I've never really listened to either band much before. But I was going to say that I didn't think that his main sort of vocal that he usually goes for was low stuff. But I suppose that it just highlights his vocal range, which is good, man. That's what you want.
Mm.
Vocalist of range. Yeah.
Oh. What? Who was that? Was that the guitarist?
Yeah, man.
Almost doing the epiglottis. That's sick. He's lows, man. It's almost like, I don't know what his technique is with these lows. It's like you can't hear any rumble, any sort of rumble underneath it. It's just like a fry almost.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe he's too used to the mids, and he's sort of using that same sort of mid technique to try and get those lows.
Possibly, because it doesn't sound actually tone-wise too low. Mm. It sounds resonance. Like his mouth shape and all that. He's like doing like a high pitch mid, which is natural, and he's just putting he's putting his larynx down and
it's just
the same tone, but he's just doing the mouth shape. So it's cool. It's just, this, you don't hear any sort of the grumbly sort of noise. Interesting.
Yeah, it's not too guttural. It's,
That's it.
Yeah. Nah.
Sounds fry.
Does.
His mids are sick.
Yeah, man. They are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. When you hear it isolated, especially, it's just doing the mids. I mean, it's cool. Cool techniques. Shout out Loki. He's done videos for us for both Heated and Suffer and PMPs. He's the man.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out Sean, man. He's the top dog at the moment.
Yeah, right. So, what are your thoughts, mate?
Well, I sort of gone into it not really knowing what to expect too much, because I don't actually know Ingested very well. The only song I know is a couple of songs that I know is that set that Joe did with them. Which I can't remember what that song's called. Skinned and... can't say that word, sexual intercourse with. Yeah. So I thought it might be a little bit faster, actually. But no, I mean, good. I mean, it's always going to be incredibly difficult to, as any musician really, but for vocals too, to come into a band sort of as established as Ingested. And sort of take the reins. It's tough to do that. So props to this guy, man, because he's it's no easy feat trying to do that. And I'm sure you understand, because obviously Suffer's a very similar situation with you at the moment, isn't it? It's new vocalist, puts a whole new feel to the band.
Oh mate, it's hard because people get used to a band, and I myself have done it. I've listened to a band and loved them, and they get a new vocalist, and I'm like, it's hard one. It's hard one. But with this, I think big shoes to fill. Mm. Obviously, the Ingested, massively established. Everyone knows them. So to come in and to just try and to change it up a bit, like, good on him, mate. He's done it. Sounds good. He's got a lot more range, which is more my sort of thing. It sounds musically as well. It's not so grindy and slammy. They've sort of, that traditional, that deathcore thing where like structure almost goes out the window, doesn't it? It's like,
yeah.
I mean, this is obviously a lot better done than a lot of bands, but they can just like do this riff and then there's a breakdown and then there's this. That's not, it seems like they've sort of took a step into that realm of trying to be a bit more, Ingested traditional deathcore stuff. So that sounds good, mate. I look forward to hearing
what's next.
I'm assuming it's going to be an album. Yeah. I saw like a live clip and it sounded cool. I'm excited to hear their, see what they've got.
Yeah,
in the lineup. 100%. Cool.
We will see.
Everyone, if you enjoyed that, if you enjoyed that, then let us know of any other ones you'd want us to watch. Let us know if you want to do us to do a reaction of our own songs. It cringes, it may be. We can do that.
Okay.
Like I say, we are both vocalists. So if you want us to talk more about technique and go into that a bit more, then let us know. Like, we are an open book. We want to hear what other people think, and we're sort of open. So I think now is probably a good time to wrap up, right?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, yeah.
Cool. So, anything else? No question A. Let us know next episode. Give us some questions in the comments. DM us. Put a message in the socials. What you want us to talk about, and just let us know. And yeah, so that's been us.
Yeah. Thanks for watching.
Ethan, Uncle and Neff.
Bye.
You know what I mean? And yeah, thanks for listening to the A&E podcast, and yes, we'll catch you again next time.